All right, well, today we get to wrap up our Restart series. We've been going for, this is going to be the fourth week of it, and what we've kind of done at the beginning of the year is just kind of help us to reevaluate life, and you know, that's usually good to do at the beginning of the year. It's kind of a time for a restart, a refreshing in life, and so hopefully through this series that you've maybe looked into your life and seen some things that God might want to change in you. And so, but what we've kind of talked about in this series is, you know, when we start the new year, lots of times people want to do New Year's resolutions. I asked last week how many of you have given up on your New Year's resolution yet? And there are several of you like, yeah, usually about the, you know, the third week, people are starting to fall out of their New Year's resolutions. And you know, that was part of my premise of this, was that, you know, we can't change ourselves. We don't have the power within us to make permanent changes within ourselves. And God doesn't require us, or he's not looking for us to change ourselves. And in fact, when we give our lives to Christ, he doesn't change us, but he transforms us. He makes us a brand new creation. We're something totally different, and we're transformed instead of just being changed. We're not the same person that's changed, but we're a brand new creation, a brand new person. And so the first week we talked about living that transformed life. What does that look like? You know, what is it that Christ actually did for us on the cross, and that he transformed us into a brand new person? Week two we came in and we talked about living in the confidence of God, being confident in his forgiveness, being confident in who he is and what he's done for us, and be confident in who he made us to be. And last week, we dove in and talked about the importance of church. And we talked about how, you know, the church isn't a building or a particular congregation or an organization. But when Christ started the church, he didn't mean for it to be just a local congregation somewhere. But the church is actually all the believers all across the world that are living right now. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. And the importance of being active in his church. And I believe that we all need to be active in his church and doing our part within the church, because as the body works, it all works together to accomplish the purpose. And we all need to be working together, doing our part in the body of Christ to produce the purposes of Christ in this earth. And so that's what we've been kind of talking about up till now. And so today, I was trying to think of a good way to wrap all of this up. You know, thinking, you know, if I'm a new believer and I'm trying to get a grasp of what it means to be a Christian and live the Christian life. And, you know, we've talked about transformation. We've talked about having confidence. We've talked about, you know, being involved in church. And so this is what God put on my heart. Prepare for a fight. And I think, you know, if you've been a Christian a long time, you're just like, yeah. You know, and because the Christian life isn't easy, because you're going against the world. You're going against what everything that you've learned and everything that you've known and everything that the world is about. You're going upstream. You're going against all of that. And so there's going to be a fight that we're going to have to fight as Christians. And it's not like a scary fight. It's not like we're, you know, but, you know, Paul said, you know, he was talking to Timothy, one of his, a young man who was he was mentoring. In 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called, to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And so he tells him, says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, there is a battle that's going on, but it's not a battle that we know the outcome of the battle, if you know what I mean. Because Jesus died on the cross. He was the one that secured our victory at the cross, and he defeated our enemy. He defeated sin. He defeated death for us. And so now as we're abiding in him, or we're living our life in him, then we're living a victorious life. And this good fight of faith isn't if we're going to win or lose. It's, hey, let's do this so that I can show the glory of God in this earth. And that's what the good fight of faith is. And so, you know, today I want to talk to you about preparing for the fight. know, getting yourself ready because you know there's a fight coming. Jesus even said, he said, in this earth you will have trouble. He said, you're going to have trouble. He says, but don't fear, I've already overcome the world. And so, you know, trouble's coming, but, you know, we're fighting from a victorious standpoint. And so, as we're getting ready for this fight that's coming, this good fight of faith, you know, in Galatians 6:9, it tells us, this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so in this fight that we're fighting, the thing that we need to realize is that we are victorious if, as long as we don't give up. As long as we don't quit fighting, we're victorious in this. And so keep fighting. You know, you're fighting the good fight of faith, and just keep going, because it's going to get tough. There's going to be times when you want to give up. There's going to be times in your Christian life where you're just like, man, I just can't do this anymore. But then we need to go back and remember about our transformed life and our confidence in Him and getting plugged into the church. And within all of this, we will find that strength and that encouragement that we need to keep on fighting. Because what the enemy wants to do is he wants to isolate you. He wants to get you off by yourself so that he can defeat you. And so you got to be careful when you're fighting the good fight of faith, is don't give up, but rely on your church family. You know, call on people to pray with you and for you. And we need to have those life-giving relationships to where we can, as we're fighting this fight, that we can fight together so that we're not doing it alone. And so how do we fight the good fight of faith? And as in any fight, Owen has been going to doing some MMA training down at Without Limits with the Sellers, and I've figured out that I need to watch too as they're doing all this, so when Owen comes to attack me that I'm ready, so like I know what's coming and so like I know how to defend myself against what he's learning. And so, but what they're teaching them is preparation. You know, they're saying, you know, a fight's coming, you know, you need to be ready, right? And so as you're in your preparation, they're teaching you to recognize things and react. You know, as someone's coming out, you know, coming after you, you recognize, you know, what's coming and what they're doing, and so you know how to properly react to that and do what you need to do to protect yourself. And so what they're doing is they're teaching habits and attitudes in this. You know, every time they go into practice, they do certain drills over and over again to learn these different moves. And so they start building habits. And what a habit is, it's something that is second nature to you. It's that you just do it just as if it's just part of who you are. And we can build whatever habits we want in our lives. You can build good habits or you can build bad habits. Most of us tend to build bad habits in our life. That when something happens, we automatically just kind of slide into that habit and do it. You know, there's lots of times, you know, we get hurt in life and bad things have been going on, and so we slide into our addiction, whether that would be alcohol or drugs or whatever it is that gives us that kind of temporary protection or release that we need to make it through that moment. And so habits are just something that happens second nature in us, but it's something that you've trained yourself to do. And so in preparing for the good fight of faith, then we need to build some habits into our lives so that when the enemy comes at us, we slide into these things second nature and we're prepared for what's coming. And so I want to talk about habits, and I also want to talk about some attitudes today that we need to have in order as we're fighting the good fight of faith, that we have the right attitude going into it. And so that's kind of our preparation, is that we know the fight's coming, so we need to prepare for it. And so let's build in these habits and let's prepare these attitudes in our life. And so when we are attacked, that we're not caught off guard and knocked back, and then we end up playing the victim game. See, there's too many Christians out there that are playing the victim game, where they're just, oh, you know, the devil's after me and I just can't do anything and this and that. And like, no, let's go back to week two where we talked about confidence in God and about who He is and about who He made me to be, and that I am victorious in Christ. Instead of being a victim, let's be a victor. It's a choice that we make because Christ made us victorious in Him. Are you going to choose that, or are you going to choose to play the victim? And it's our choice. So we're going to talk about some attitudes today. And so first I want to talk about some habits that we need to build into our lives And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly because this is stuff that we talk about quite often. And the number one habit that we must have in our life is that we must be getting into God's Word. It is an absolute must that we're putting God's Word into our hearts and into our lives on a consistent basis. And I know we talk about this a lot, but that's how important it is, because it's God's Word is where we're finding the strength. That's where the power of God is, lies within His Word and within His Spirit. And so as we're putting God's Word into our life, it's strengthening us. It's building our faith. It's making us stronger so that when the enemy does come and attack us, we are ready for that. See, there's nothing better than just getting out the old leather Bible sometimes and just sitting down and reading. I love the leather, the smell of it, and the, you know, the sound that the pages made. It's interesting that there's no other book that sounds like a Bible when you're turning the pages. You ever notice that? It's like they make special paper for the Bible. I don't know. But anyway. But there's some people that struggle with that. If you have a smartphone, there's an app called YouVersion that is amazing. And this is actually what I read most of the time is YouVersion on my phone, because on this you can download different versions. I mean, there's tons of versions on there, you know, that fit what you want to read. Some people love the King James Bible. I grew up on the King James Bible. A lot of the scripture that I memorized is in King James, and I love the King James Bible, but you know, for some people that's hard to read, it's hard to understand, and so there's lots of different versions out there that you can go to. And you know, some people don't like to read, and that's your excuse. Let me tell you something, that app will read to you. It will read the Bible to you. You're driving to work, turn that on, get God's Word in you. No excuse. It has Bible reading things in there, plans that you can dive into and read. I'm doing one now that's New Testament's Proverbs and Psalms that I'm going to read through that in a year. And just consistently putting God's Word into you and building you up. We have Right Now Media here at the church that it's online videos from pastors all across the country that are doing devotionals that you can get involved in. There's really no excuse why not to get God's Word in you. It is so available to you right now. You've got to try not to do it. if you're not doing it, it's got to be purposeful. So God's Word, that's the important thing. We need to be worshiping. We need to be worshiping, not just on Sunday mornings, not with just, when you're at church, but you need to be worshiping at home. Learn to create that atmosphere where the presence of God shows up in your life, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life. You can listen to K-Love. I mean, there's two stations right here you can pick up in Batesville of K-Love. You can listen to Spotify or any of those kind of online streaming things. They have worship stations. If you don't have any of that, you can go to YouTube. Worship music is available for you, and I encourage you to consistently find a way to worship through music. Now I know we talk about a lot of times like worship is not just singing. Worship is a lifestyle that we live, but there's something about music that in God's creation, when He created music, it creates an atmosphere of what's going on. And so, for example, here at the church that, there's different times that we play different types of music to set a different tone for when you come in. If we're having a time, like, just say you're going to a funeral. I mean, you're not going to have some upbeat, hip-hop going on at a funeral. There's usually a certain style of music that's played at a funeral that helps you to reflect. And music sets a tone and a style that God created it that way. And there's something special about worship that just invites in the presence of God into your life. Number three thing, that habit that you need to get into is praying. Praying. See, prayer is one of the most powerful things that you have at your disposal, because now you have direct contact with the Creator of the universe. You can talk to Him directly. I don't know how to pray. I'm uncomfortable in that. If you're uncomfortable praying, go into Matthew chapter 6 and find the Lord's Prayer and start there. Start praying that. If you don't know what else to pray, there's prayers in the Bible that you can go and you can pray these things over your life. And I like to use the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer, not necessarily say that directly, but He breaks it down in an awesome way to where you can connect with your Heavenly Father. another habit that we need to build into, and one that the church has gotten away from a lot, is fasting. Oh, man. A lot of people shudder at fasting. It's like, I'd love to eat, though. The basis of fasting is, as we read it in the Bible, is that you abstain from food for a certain amount of time on purpose. Like, sometimes we do it accidentally, or we can't afford food, and so we, that's not the kind of fasting we're talking about. It's a purposeful abstaining from food in order to draw closer to God. And so the basic thought behind fasting is that I don't eat so that I buffet my body, so that I put my body in a place where it needs to be, and then during those times I'm supposed to be eating, I'm seeking God instead. Whether through reading God's word, through worshiping, through prayer, through whatever, I'm being purposeful in seeking God during these times. And it's amazing, any time that I've fasted, I've found that my flesh gets beat down in me, and my spirit man becomes stronger, and I have this connection with God that God can speak to me in my life and to give me direction and give me guidance during these times of fasting. One day I'd love to do a little bit deeper study into what fasting is about. And fasting necessarily doesn't mean completely abstaining from food. There's other types of fast that you could do. I recently did one where I got off social media. Sometimes we need to fast social media and get that voice out of our head and get that distraction out of our life. And so there's different things that you can do with fasting. Another habit we need to build into our lives is giving. Giving your tithes and offerings. But outside of that, also giving of yourself to people. There's times that you see someone in need, whether it be a homeless person, whether it be someone that you know at work or in your life, and they're just in need. And we need to get into that habit of having a generous heart. Because as we look at the heart of God, we see generosity. For God so loved the world that He gave. He just didn't give the pocket change. He gave His best. He gave His Son Jesus Christ for us. And so we need to learn to reflect that heart of generosity in our own lives, to where we're giving of ourselves, we're giving of our money, we're giving of our time. And the last one goes along with that is with serving. Serving. I believe that we all need to be serving other people. This is one of those habits that as a new believer, lots of times we come in and we're learning, we're growing, and lots of times we grow to a certain point and we just kind of plateau, it seems like. It's like, I still want to grow, but I don't feel like I'm doing anything. Lots of times we need to start serving other people at that point. Start giving out what God has given us. In whatever way that produces out of your life, is that we need to have a habit of serving. We need to have that servant's heart as Jesus had that servant's heart in us. And so those are some of the habits that I believe that we need to build into our lives as we're fighting the good fight of faith, as we're trying to live out this Christian life in front of us, that as we build these habits, it becomes second nature that we're in God's Word. It becomes second nature that we go to God in prayer when we're in trouble, that when we have need in our lives, that we don't start worrying and fretting and going off on that, but we run to Him during those times, that we naturally want to give. One of the things that I've realized is that, we can't outgive God. God is a very generous God. He says, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall God give unto your bosom. Is that God is a giving God, and as we give and we're giving in His name and we're giving to bless people, that He's going to bless us back in that. We don't give to get, but we give because someone's in need. And so one of the things that I've realized is when I have a need in my life, I've learned to give during that moment. Because maybe there's something that's holding me back, that's causing this need in my life. And my act of giving to someone else is a step of faith, showing God, I trust You. God, I trust You in this moment. And so I'm going to continue to give like You need me to, and I know that You're going to take care of me. And so these are some habits that we need to build in that need to become second nature in our lives. And as we do, the good fight of faith will be a lot easier. But I want to talk about attitudes today as well, because as the great theologian Yogi Berra once said, Some of y'all don't know who Yogi Berra is. But he was a catcher for the New York Yankees back in the day. And look up some Yogi Berra quotes. They're the greatest. I mean, it's the greatest. He said this. He says, baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. Run the math on that for a second. Baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical. But in the same tone is that a lot of the Christian life is our mental attitudes towards life. You know, Christ died on the cross for us. Our sins are forgiven. He's given us victory over the enemy, over sin and death. And so he's saying, all right, so now let's go and let's live in this relationship together. So we're not fighting to be forgiven. We're not fighting to be accepted by God. We're not fighting so that we could be loved by God. But we're supposed to be living in this love and acceptance and grace and mercy that he's given us. And so a lot of what we deal with in life is mental and it's attitudes towards life. And so today I want to talk about a few negative attitudes that come up in our lives and how we need to fight against those things. Because I think a lot of what we deal with in our Christian walk have to do with these attitudes. The first one is fear. Is fear. There's so many Christians that live in fear to when, you know, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that he doesn't want us to live in fear and anxiety about life. But instead, he wants to live, want us to live in faith. We need to have an attitude of faith in life. See, it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, you can't please God without faith. And when we live in this fear in life, to where everything's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, God wants us to bring those things to him. Fear is going to come against us. There's going to be times where fear springs up in our life. But what are we going to do with that? Are we going to just think about that and dwell in that fear? Or are we going to take that right to God? Say, God, this is going on in my life. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, I put this in your hands. God, give me wisdom. God, work your grace in my life in this area. And I believe that he brings a peace that passes all understanding into your life. And we need to live out of an attitude of faith instead of an attitude of fear all the time. Because if the enemy can get you afraid to live in that fear, then you're never going to step out in faith and do anything for God. You're never going to step out in faith when he asks you to go minister to that person. Well, what are they going to think about me? Well, what if I'm wrong? Let me tell you something about that. I've been in ministry for 16 years or so. I've gotten it wrong a few times in my life. You know, where I think God's telling me to do something, I step out, and it's the wrong thing to do. You know what? I'm still here. Just because I messed up doesn't mean I'm done. See, people think if I mess up, then I failed and I'm done. No. That's not the God that we serve, that God gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. I think I'm on my 1,022nd chance now. But you see what I'm saying? That don't be scared to do something wrong in the name of God. Because I would rather be wrong in trying to do something that I think God wants me to do than not do anything at all. Because if I don't do anything at all, nothing's going to happen. But if I step out in faith, then God is going to meet me there. And if I get it wrong, lots of times God meets me there anyway. And then just smacks me later. Like, that wasn't what I told you to do, but no one will bless you anyway. Thank God he's a God of grace, right? So we don't need to live in this attitude of fear all the time, but live in faith in him and that trust and that confidence that we talked about a few weeks ago. Another attitude that we need to be careful with is a spiritual arrogance. A spiritual arrogance. And lots of times this comes after you've been a Christian for, you know, 2 or 3 years and you kind of got your feet underneath you and you're learning about God and you're growing. And if you're not careful, you get to this place to where you kind of feel like you're better than other people because of your relationship with God. And we've got to be careful that we don't live in spiritual arrogance. Because God doesn't call us to live in spiritual arrogance. He calls us to live in humility. The more that I know about God, the more humble that I need to be. The more I've learned about Him, the more I realize that it's not about me, and that I have to trust in Him to do what He needs me to do. And so, you know, a lot of times the way this comes out is you start correcting people's theology all the time. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. I understand that. But God didn't call you to be the theology police either. You know, there's some things about you that you're probably wrong on too. There's probably some things that I believe that might be wrong too. And so we've got to be careful that we're not out there correcting theology. Well, you don't need to be living that way. You don't need to be hanging out with those. And you start doing this thing to where all of a sudden you put yourself in the seat of the judge and you're telling other people what to do and what not to do. That's not your job. Be careful that you're not living in spiritual arrogance. Now, there should be a confidence in who God is and His forgiveness and who you are, but that doesn't mean that you get to tell everybody else what to do that's not as spiritual as you. You've got to be careful, because you didn't see Jesus do that. You never saw Jesus talk down to someone who understood less than He did. What did He do? He went down to their level. And He talked to them on their level and brought them up. See, if you're all the time talking down to people, spiritually speaking, then all you're doing is pushing people down. You're not helping anybody out. But you need to get down there and lift them up. Help them to come up to where you are. Live in that humility. See, 1 Peter 5:5 says, "In the same way you young men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. For God opposes the proud, but He favors the humble." Why do you think Jesus chose the men that He did to be His disciples? He didn't choose the best. He didn't choose the smartest. He didn't choose the elite. He chose those who were down, and He lifted them up. And you see what those men became, because Jesus was willing to get down on their level and begin to bring them up. How many times did He say, "Oh, you have little faith"? He didn't say that to put them down. He said, "Let me teach you something. Let me bring you up a little bit. Let me raise that faith up a little bit." We need to be living in humility in our spiritual walk. Another attitude we've got to be careful with is that we don't live in the attitude of blame. And in our society that we live in today, nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions. It's the society we live in, and it's not my fault, it's my parents' fault. Or, it's the way I was brought up, or these people made me do it, and this and this, and we're blaming of why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And if we're not careful, we'll bring that into our spiritual lives as well, and we'll begin to make excuses as to why we're not where we need to be spiritually. Why don't you read your Bible every day? Well, I just don't have time. Well, my kids. Well, my job. I come home and I'm tired. And we give excuses. I do this too. I'm not saying I'm better than you on this, because I make excuses too. We got to be careful not to get in that mindset of passing the blame as to why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, we see this in the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning, the first human beings, they sinned, they ate the fruit. They realized that they had sinned, they had fallen short. Then they looked down and they realized they were naked. And then God shows up. Listen to this in Genesis 3. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man replied, "Yes, Lord, I did. I'm sorry." No, he said, "It was the woman that you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it." See, we got to be careful that we're not passing the blame. See, we need to have that heart of repentance in our life. That we need to be willing to fess up when we mess up. We just live in that society where it's easier just to blame somebody else. Oh, well, it's their fault. Okay, well then, never mind. But we need to learn to be men and women of God and be willing to confess when we've messed up. Because you'll never change as long as it's someone else's fault. You'll never step into that transformation if it's always someone else's fault. And so we need to learn to take responsibility for our actions. It goes on and says, so the Lord asked the woman, says, what have you done? It was the serpent. He deceived me. And that's why I ate. See, it's second nature to us now to blame. We need to make it second nature to us to where we're taking responsibility for our life. Because if I can always make an excuse why I did something wrong. But if I'm never willing to stand up and take responsibility, then nothing's ever going to change. Your life will never grow. You'll never get better because you're not taking that responsibility for yourself. I got two more attitudes we're going to talk about. The next one is the attitude of negativity. The attitude of negativity. I understand living in this world how it's easy to be negative about everything. I mean, you turn on the news, man, it's all negative, negative, negative. It's the government. This is happening. That's happening. It's the Democrats. It's the Republicans. It's this, it's that. And everything's just, you know, the world's going to explode tomorrow. You know? Have you read the Bible? It tells us how it's going to end. It tells us that we're going to win. It tells us how it's going to happen. Yeah, the world's going to go negative. The world's not getting any better. But as God's people, we are still to rise above that and live that victorious life. To have that victorious attitude in our life. Man, I don't like getting around negative people because, you know, I get swayed by that sometimes. You know, this is wrong church and it's wrong church, and, you know, if this doesn't change, this is going to happen, and so we might as well just shut the doors. You know, just like, what? Can we not have confidence in the church of God? Can we not have confidence in God's word and that we ought to speak to us life? So, and let me get God's thoughts into our heart. In Philippians 4:8, it says, and dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. See, if you're in that to where everything's negative and you always feel down about some things, begin to swap out those thoughts for God's thoughts. Begin to put God's word into your heart and into your mind and begin to speak these things over your life. Let me tell you something. I use this list a lot in my life. Some thought comes in it might be, I heard a rumor about somebody. Oh man, this is going on in their life and it's awful and everything's bad. Think about what's true. Is this true? I don't know if it's true or not. I don't need to be thinking about it. See, that's the hard thing about rumors, is that you don't know if it's true or not. Unless you saw it with your own two eyes, you don't know if it's true or not. So why are you thinking about it? Why are you dwelling on that? Don't accept a half-truth. Because if it's a half-truth, it's wrong. Whatever is true. Is this honorable? Is this lifting somebody else up? Is this a good thing? Whatever is right, pure, lovely. See, we need to be putting those God thoughts in us. And we need to be thinking that way towards other people. And we need to not look at the negative of everything. Yes, sometimes we have to evaluate negative things. But that doesn't mean it has to bring you down. Man, put God's thoughts in there. The last one I want to talk about today is the attitude of complacency. And this is where we all get as Christians at one time in our life, probably more than one time, this place to where we feel comfortable and we just kind of quit. We quit trying, we quit growing, we quit pushing. And it's a very dangerous place to be, this place of complacency. It's also called a comfort zone. When we get stuck in our comfort zone to where everything is just like, everything's comfortable, everything's good, and we're just kind of floating through, and, you know, nothing bad is going on, and we're just like, I just want to stay here for a little while. I completely understand that. But let me tell you something. You never win a battle sitting on the couch. You never win a battle resting and doing nothing. It's us getting up and going, it's okay to rest sometimes. See, God gave us the Sabbath as a time of rest, and that we all need to be taking part of Sabbath. That's not necessarily Sunday, all right? We need to take times in our lives to rest. Our physical body, we need to emotionally rest. We need to have times where we get away from everything and just allow some rest to happen in our life. But we don't need to stay in the rest position all the time. We need to be engaged 6 out of 7 times. We need to be engaged. We need to be going. In Romans 12:11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So I'm afraid too many Christians fall in this complacency. We can read in the book of Revelations when he wrote the 7 letters to the 7 churches. He told one of them, he says, you're lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, on fire for me or totally against me. This lukewarmness, it makes me sick. Be careful that you don't fall into that comfort zone and you just kind of float through your Christian life. Because when we get to that position, that means we're sitting on the couch doing nothing for God. And we're being ineffective. And the enemy wants to keep you there. He wants to keep you in that comfort zone. He wants to keep you in that place to where you're ineffective and not doing anything. It's interesting, lots of times when we're in that place, we don't get attacked by the enemy. Have you ever noticed that? When you're complacent, when you're not, you know, engaged and you're not pushing, sometimes that's some of the easiest times of our life. Because we're not a threat. We're not doing anything. Let's not fall into that complacency in our Christian life. Let's keep that zeal up. Let's keep that spiritual fervor. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep growing. Because if we want to hit the restart button in life, and we want to live the transformed life, we want to make God's name known in this earth, then we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. That we're going to have to step up and we're going to have to prepare. We need to be ready. We need to have the habits in place, and we need to have our attitudes in check, ready to go for the battle. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. God, thank you that you've given us everything that we need to live this godly life. God, help us to be ready for the battle. God, don't let us get caught off guard when the enemy attacks or when things don't go right and we begin to question you. But God, help us have our hearts set on you. God, ready to go so that we never fall away from what you have for us. Father, we thank you for all that you do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand? We're going to worship one more.